move to page 58 of the agenda concerning use of the ratepayers' role. Councillor Hutchinson had a discussion with Councillor Hutchinson about this, and you may wish to move it in an amended form.
Yep, I believe I sent that through as well. I'm actually moving for members' benefit the motion on page 60 with an extra clause, point 3, which is point 2 of my original motion, which is that council write to metropolitan councils, but instead of metropolitan councils, we're going to write to the Minister for Local Government.
So that is now on the screen there. We need leave of the meeting for the motion to be moved in an amended form. It's still the same subject matter, so I'm comfortable with it. Is there any objection? If not, then Councillor Bilescu?
I would like to know if we can actually have a timeout happen on the computer in 10 minutes' time that requires the person to go up to the desk and ask for another access code or something like that.
I'm hearing from staff advising that that's not currently known, but part two of the motion would give you an answer to that, and probably a more comprehensive than one that you could get tonight. So I'll just check that the motion is seconded, Councillor Bilescu. So I'll invite Councillor Hutchinson to. I think you have moved the motion, Councillor Hutchinson, so please speak to it if you wish.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, I've witnessed this on a number of occasions here at Marion over the last 5 years, and I've experienced the receiving end of these real estate databases that are created. But what really opened my eyes was visiting around 6 or 7 metropolitan councils over the course of the last month or so in the middle of the day, and noticing it is rampant. It is everywhere across the state. Real estate agents are camped in every major metropolitan council, building their databases, set up there for the day with a laptop, their snacks, drinks, and reading line-by-line rate rolls. I have a principal concern around privacy, people's privacy, and I don't believe as a government body we should be facilitating the sharing of details to this extent. This information can be on-sold. It can be used in, you know, global marketing efforts around where people live and tie into other databases. So I am conscious of our ratepayers' privacy, and I'd like to take some steps to protect that, as I think all ratepayers would like us to do. And in doing so, I think we need to write to the Minister for Local Government to seek his support in putting some further, or potentially clarifying the legislation a little bit further for us, because at the moment it's quite broad and we need to have a public register. It doesn't say about how much access one should have. I've suggested the reasons why the public register exists and is available. I think that's the intention of the legislation, but currently it's being used for commercial gain, and I don't agree with that, and we should continue to maintain the privacy of all our ratepayers.
I'm really happy that Councillor Hutchinson has brought this up, and good on him, because I've seen the effect that this does have on our residents when they're potentially hounded to sell their house. And sometimes when as people get older, they get confused, and I believe this predatory behaviour takes advantage of that. I remember towards the end of my first term, we had someone saying, there was a cluster within Mitchell Park that was being approached by the same real estate agent who was telling them, oh, your house is on our list for sale. And people were quite distressed, saying my house is for sale, people that have been there for decades. So I don't think we should be in any way facilitating this sort of predatory behaviour, and it's on the most vulnerable, and it's done because people don't care about our community, they just care about making money at with no concern about the impact on the individuals that they prey on.
To adapt his original intention to make it a motion, that's entirely within our jurisdiction. Is anyone speaking against the motion? A question from Councillor Hull.
Has the mover and seconder thought about directing this towards the Real Estate Institute? Many years ago, Councillor Herriman and myself paid them a visit about an issue. It was reasonably productive. Would that be appropriate?
Well, that's something that Councillor Hutchinson can take up in his reply. Any other speakers? If not, then back to Councillor Hutchinson to at least answer Councillor Hull's question.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, Councillor Hull, the Real Estate Institute actually promote this type of database collection and other means of collecting information. They also talk about conditioning vendors to sell their property for less. This is part of the education that's out there. That's a fact. That's the term that's used. I know. I've read their documentation. Look, the intention of the motion is to limit it back down to what it should be for, and that's for neighbours to be able to find out who owns the property next door so that they can write to them about a fencing issue or a local community issue. And that's why originally I anticipated 3 searches a month is reasonable, because you should only have about 3 neighbours generally, might have 5 these days. But it's around that mark. And that's what the intention is. I'm pleased that Councillor Valescu picked up on the predatory sales techniques. I think that's very important, particularly in an area when, like Marion, where we're concerned about the level of development. If you're concerned about the level of development, you should be concerned about those vulnerable members of the community that are exploited, I guess, and have pressure tactics put upon them. Members, I'll commend the motion.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. On to page 62, mayoral support for a fundraising event. Can I just clarify, Councillor Hutchinson, let us know your intentions in relation to what you're going to move.
I've emailed through a revised motion, Your Worship, in the this afternoon before the meeting. It's simply 2 points based on advice, working with staff around what we should be doing in this space.
That's all right. I'll just pause you there for a moment. I'd like to invite staff, if they wish, to express any view that the Mayor has a conflict of interest in relation to the matter, notwithstanding my position that there's no personal interest at stake, because that'll be something I'll consider before making a decision about whether to depart the meeting or not.
I read something in the report that would infer that, I'd like to hear.
Yeah, through the chair, there were some questions raised in regards to the Marion Achievers Travel Fund and the type of trust that this was, and whether the mayor was the trustee or the administrator of this trust, and if there was any conflict in regards to it. So those matters have been raised, but we're still unclear of the details of that.
Well, what I'm asking is, in terms of your advice, what exactly is the conflict of interest, if that's what you're suggesting?
So there is a potential for a perceived conflict, potentially, if the mayor would be a trustee of the trust and would be involved in it, the administering of funds, whether the community could see that as a perceived conflict was the matters that were raised.
I just note that the report states that Club Marion will be the trustee, and I'm not the trustee. So that's why I can't see that personal interest that's at stake. So, at this stage, I'll stay in the meeting. I'm glad that we've had that discussion on the public record. And certainly if any member feels uncomfortable about that, please raise it as a point of order. Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, what you're set out to do here is fantastic. There's an old saying in this place that when in doubt, step out.
I'll take that as a hint, and it wouldn't be appropriate to ask the Deputy Mayor to take the chair. Who was the last elected Deputy Mayor in the chamber? Councillor Pfeiffer, I'd invite you to take the chair for this motion. Thank you.
Go with the flow. That's the safest thing for him. All right, Councillor Hutchinson.
Mr Chairman, I have a question. Are we all kosher with the immediate past Deputy Mayor taking the chair? From our policy perspective, I just want to make sure that the motion's not void after we do all this.
Just give us a moment. Mr. Acting Mayor, while this is being discussed, my take on this is that it could go either way. If
Councillor Holwyn, not actually speaking to this at the moment.
No, but this is procedural commentary. That if Councillor Hutchinson's moved the motion, he can take the chair, and somebody around here is quite in order to move it. So that's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Through the current chair, Section 86 of the Local Government Act states that the principal member of the council will preside at the council at the meeting of the council. If the principal member is absent from a meeting of the council and there is a deputy, the deputy will preside. But if there is no deputy or the deputy is not available to preside, a member of the council chosen by those present will preside. Yes. Thank you. Just taking note that Councillor Hutchinson, as the deputy mayor, has assumed the role of chair of this meeting.
Thank you, members. Sorry for that. I just wanted to make sure we got it right, so there's no question about process brought into this. The motion that was presented was on the screen. I'm looking for a mover of that. Councillor Hull I saw first, Councillor Gard I saw second, so I take that as a seconder. Councillor Hull, do you wish to speak at all?
The motion be put.
Oh, okay, we'll have to deal with that first. All those who agree that the motion should be put, please raise. Oh. Oh, you can't, you moved it, you can't move procedural. Motion be put. All those in favour of the motion being put, that was moved by Councillor Crossland, seconded it. So that was unanimous. Okay, the motion is going forward.
All those in favour? I declare that those against carried by majority. Thank you, members.
I think that we're up to the next item of business. Page 65, Wi-Fi access. Councillor Villescu.
Yeah, well, I think more and more places are offering Wi-Fi access, and I'd like to get a bit of an idea as to where we offer it at the moment in our community use buildings. So not, you know, going to the depot and people hanging out the front with their laptops like they do our library. And just, I guess, to get a bit of a snapshot, and then as we move forward, you know, whether if we want to encourage people into the digital space, what we would need to do. So that's what it is. In the past, there have been some issues with internet access, speeds, things like that. At I know in the Parkholm Library, but that has been resolved since. And part of this is, I believe there was a community centre that offers a training in for older people to use the internet, but if they turn up with their iPad and they're in the area, they can't actually use it there unless they've got their own connection. So it just seems good to get an idea of a snapshot and how that could fit into a future strategy. Thank you.
That's great. Might even report on how to get Wi-Fi working in the Mayor's office.
It's not a community building, sorry.
Seconded, Councillor Byron. Thank you. Did you wish to speak? Any other speakers? Councillor Hutchinson?
Just a comment, Your Worship. Speaking in favour, I would also like the report to explore opportunities to partner with some of the service providers, because I know that some of those service providers are keen to create hotspots in particular areas, and so I'd hope that, you know, in the broader context of the report, that something like that would be included. If that could be noted just by staff, I think that would be useful.
Fine, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Councillor Blescu to move in relation to defibrillators, page 66 of the agenda.
Look, I know this is an issue throughout the metropolitan area and probably regional areas as well, is that the need for these defibrillator machines that buzz you when your heart goes. And I do have a letter we received from a sporting club in my area identifying the number of teams that they have, over 400 members, 11 junior teams, 3 senior teams. They're a member of the Channel 9 Adelaide Football League, and during the 2014 football season, that league had 3 incidents in the senior men's area where CPR was needed to save lives. So you're looking at around about $2,000 after subsidy per machine, and that includes training by, I believe it's St John, Red Cross. So I think it's something we should see if we can maximise the amount in our council, and a report like this will look at the options for doing that. And one of the things to be aware of is that we shouldn't just have them there. We need to have training and people not afraid to use them, because they're being glamorised, whether it's in hospital movies, even Frankenstein, things like that. People think it's quite an elaborate and dangerous process, but it's actually quite straightforward, and from what I've been told, relatively, well, it's really safe and, yeah, tells you how to use it. So there you go. So I think this is a public safety initiative. And one more thing, Your Worship, it's not just the senior people. I was sitting with a Member of Parliament who had a community member speak to her, and they were talking about the heart kids, so the kids that have got issues with their heart, and that community member was working with that federal Member of Parliament to try to get some assistance to get more defibs out as well, and it was for the kids. So,
seconded. Councillor Byram, did you wish to speak?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, having been an instructor who has taught on these and in many lessons teaching people how to use them, but there being very few in the community that people could use, has always been a bit of a problem. And so I fully do support this motion in us exploring the use of these and how we can get them rolled out so there are more in the community for use.
Yes, I've heard that lawn bowls is the most dangerous sport we play in Australia. There are more fatalities than anything else. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against. That's carried by majority. We've dealt with the motion on page 67. We're up to page 68. Councillor Pfeiffer to move. Edwardstown.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll move it most enthusiastically. Your Worship, thanks especially to staff who responded to this particular motion with notice very, very quickly and got a report together, a comprehensive report in about 36 hours, which was very much appreciated. Look, I won't go into a huge amount of detail about the site itself of Edwardstown Oval, other than the fact that it's been there for 95 years and has been developed in a very, very ad hoc fashion, and it's in pretty poor nick right now. Also, look, in that particular part of the council area, we have a rapidly increasing population growth, and population density is also rapidly increasing. We're expecting an extra 20% in Edwardstown over the next 30 years, which is quite substantial. Your Worship, back in April this year, council endorsed Edwardstown Oval as one of its four priorities. Other priorities were, of course, BMX and soccer down south, Mitchell Park, basketball. It was in the mix as one of those four. One of the points in that particular motion was point three, that potential funding opportunities relevant to the above sports infrastructure be actively pursued as they arise. This is an opportunity. Unfortunately, due to the timing, we missed the opportunity for round two of the National Stronger Regions Fund grant. This is the opportunity to go for round three. We have a federal member of parliament. This is of course a federal fund. We have a federal member of parliament in that area who's very, very enthusiastic for us to go for this particular fund. It would be up to 50% of the cost of it as well. Your Worship, you would recall back in late May, yourself and John Valentine met with the Edwardstown Oval Management Committee, and you threw down the challenge to them to reduce the cost of the master plan, to get the governance sorted out, and to address the economic development. This group has been meeting fortnightly ever since then to do exactly that. We've got the chair of that committee in the gallery this evening. They've worked ridiculously hard. They've also got a volunteer architect amongst the group who's been very active doing drawings, and one of those drawings is in our attachments this evening. That was done for free. There was no cost. She did that in her own time on Sunday afternoons and in evenings, which was very, very good. Look, this is a priority of council. It's something that we, as a group, have said that we want to do. We have a reasonable chance, if we can put together a good application, a very good application that addresses all the necessary criteria, we have a very good opportunity of actually getting 50% of this thing funded. That's incredible. And it's, you know, 50% of 8 million, yeah, it's still a 4 million cost to council, approximately. But, you know, it's to get half your mortgage paid is a pretty darn good thing, really, if you put it in those sort of terms. Look, I'll leave it at that, and I commend the motion to council.
Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry, did you wish to speak? I do note that prior to the meeting, Councillor Crossland had made inquiries of staff about cost and so on, and one of the next steps will be spending approximately $75,000 on consultants to pull together the necessary information, provide the necessary reports before coming back to council with a more distinct, definite plan. Any other speakers? Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I hope with your indulgence, I'll speak in favour of the motion, but I want to make some qualifying comments about why I'm supporting a major project.
If you could briefly, thanks, Councillor Hull.
Look, members would remember that before this council, I spoke a lot about having two master plants two projects, one in the north, one in the south. Well, this was not my chosen one. Mitchell Park was. But look, opportunity knocks, I can see that, and I'm happy to go along with it. But I just want to highlight something in particular, Mr. Mayor, in terms of being our situational awareness, in terms of what we can possibly manage going forward. This, if this was to go ahead, it's going to cost this council $360,000 a year to maintain. Now, I'm happy to do that, but if we're going to do one down south, think about the bottom line. And I just want to bring perspective to our broader direction about major projects and the sporting hubs. So, you know, I think this is an awakening as to what we're really wrestling with here. Happy to support it. I don't know what we're going to do if the candidates for Boothby come forward with a similar proposal. They might have to jack up their contribution a bit, somewhat. But, look, you know, this is what marginal seats and elections do, and we should be using this to capture to the betterment of our community, and that's why I'm supporting it, regardless of what side I prefer. But above all, Mr. Mayor, as I said, it brings some awareness to what we're really dealing with all these multiple sporting hubs.
Thank you. I'll just clarify that the $360,000 a year was referred to in background information as potential loan repayments over 10 years in terms of the impact on the long-term financial plan.
On $4 million. Right.
Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm actually not in favour of the motion as it stands, basically because it's saying council lodges a funding application with no amounts of money actually listed there. So I'm feeling like we've got an open checkbook on this one if we put it in as it states. And I do commend Councillor Pfeiffer for all the work that he has done there, and I know that this is something that we do want to look at and move forward, but I would like to seek to move an amendment to the motion that Council investigates and researches a funding application to round three of the Federal Government's National Stronger Regions Fund in support of that. But at this stage, I don't want it to say lodges, because that compels us to lodge it, not knowing what the amount is actually going to be. So I'd like it still to be that we research that and look at it.
So investigates and researches the merits of it.
And it's got to come back to us for finance.
Councillor Byram, if you said investigates and researches the merits of a funding application.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to clarify the meaning.
Thank you.
Well, that is an appropriate... Well, sorry, it is a lawful amendment. Is it seconded? Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak to the amendment and in so doing speak in the debate?
I'll just say that I'll support the amendment because I also have concerns. Obviously, we were looking at, on a strategy point of view, looking at one in the north, one in the south, and I hope that there's been some liaison with the councillors there that this will be the one and Mitchell Park will not be going ahead because... although I've said before, look, I accept what Councillor Pfeiffer has said, and yet with a growing population you need sporting venues. The same thing happened in the southern suburbs and we didn't build any sporting venues as such. There still aren't any sporting venues. I appreciate that the ones you've got are slowly deteriorating, but it would be nice to have some that were deteriorating down south, because at the moment we are turning a lot of people away. And I'd also like us to go back to the original point, which we are supposed to be involved in a strategy for the whole of the city, and that strategy, as my view, hasn't actually been formalised yet, and yet here we are again bouncing around on individual projects without it being a whole of council discussion. So that's all I've got to say about that.
Yes, a few people have taken the individual project-by-project approach this year. That's only natural when we're elected in wards, I suppose. Any other speakers? Councillor Valescu? Oh, sorry.
To start with, how is... Sounds like a pheromone.
Councillor Byram, your mic's off, is it?
Yeah.
How is the amendment different to the motion? Because just a bit in research the merits, I'm just wondering whether that's different to what was in place, minus forgetting about the money, but how is that different from those two?
Well, members might want to clarify in the debate, but I would interpret it this way, that the motion says that council will do all things necessary to lodge a reasonably good funding application in January, essentially. Councillor Byrom's motion is saying we will go a little way down the track and then decide what we're going to do. I would think it still requires the sort of consultancies and preparation that need to take place over the next month or two, but it suggests that we would come back to decide whether or not to proceed. That's how I'd interpret it. Councillor Byrom's nodding in agreement. Councillor Gard, to speak.
Thank you, Your Worship. This is somewhere between a question and a statement, actually. I'm a little confused as to whether we are compromising the other three projects indefinitely. They're all voted upon, and we've regarded them as the four priorities. Are we... First things first, I guess, is money. Do the funds sit there for, indeed, this project, if we were to go for funding for this project, do the funds sit there for it but not for the other projects indefinitely? In other words, I'm questioning the spirit of what our original prioritisation was all about. That's really the nub of it. I'm certainly in favour of it in principle, provided we are not cutting across what we're intending to do at large. There could be a bird in the hand situation where if there's an indication that funding would be forthcoming, then there's pressure in that sense to take that on board and then plan longer term for the other three projects. But I was just seeking clarification on that.
If I may speak to that, and obviously it's up to Council Pfeiffer to address that in reply. But just to recap, Council's approved four or five major sporting facility improvements, Edwardstown being one of them. We didn't rank those four or five and assumed that it would become clear as time went on which would be pursued in which order. The peculiarity of Edwardstown is that it's in a favourable situation given the political environment and the timing, and that has been what has promoted it up the list, so to speak. But it is true to say that we haven't ranked the five projects that we approved. Now, Councillor Valescu has asked a question but not spoken. So, Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, I think that's an important thing. It is the opportunities that come up on these. And I think that this one here is the one that it is able to attract a large chunk of funding, and that's a chunk of funding that further down the track council wouldn't have to pay. I guess for members, there are groups that have been left out of the master plan process that was started 5 years ago that will look on this and say, look, you know, what about our clubs? We're this size, we're this, you know, our facilities are falling down. There's others that are going, well, we're turning people away because things are too small. There will always be that noise in the background, and we need to look at addressing that in some way, and this shouldn't exclude that process. But I think that we've chosen those big ticket priorities. Let's see if we can, and let's proceed as a group. And there'll be other things that will take more time. The ducks have aligned in this case, and that means that there will be more money put in to the pool for that. And I think also when we get a more comprehensive report, we can look at some of those issues. As far as the ongoing funding, how much of it will be already in the budget? So things maintenance and renewal, things like that, because there's some quite substantial figures in here. And what is the opportunity cost of that to the council? So we need to have a bigger in-depth discussion as part of that. But what my fear is, and based on the experience of the last two councils, is that we'll start retracting into our wards, which of course it's quite natural, and we won't get anything done. And that's my concern. But we also need to keep in mind that people will see big ticket spending here as a potential, the opportunity cost will be the major ticket, big ticket items in their areas. So we need to be able to facilitate all of those expectations.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm speaking against the amendment. Your Worship, I'm pragmatic about these things. It's quite clear that the Edwardstown Sports Club and affiliates are far more advanced than those in my ward. The opportunity has arisen. We need to take that, and I'll be supporting the original motion that we lodge the application.
Councillor Hull.
Of the administration, the last federal election, when Tony Abbott was elected, how much did the City of Marion achieve out of that election, and how much do we put our hand up for? I think therein is your answer, Mr. Mayor.
Start and my take
point,
that on note.
My point is made.
Okay. I think there being no other... Yes, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just a quick one, I guess. I'm overall supportive of this. I share a couple of Councillor Crossland's concerns about the fact that we did... Yeah, we have, a sporting committee who... they haven't really had time to get going yet, and I do share the concerns on that side of the coin. But $4 million is $4 million. I mean, if you part of our brief here is to take the money when it's on offer, and I think that's too big a carrot to pass up, to be honest.
Yes, it's not quite on offer, but it's certainly a dangling carrot. Yes. Councillor Telfer?
I would speak against the amendment and for the motion, because to get something up for round three is important, and from now on they'll have to go hell for leather, and we have to, as a team, work in some faith that our projects will come forward at an appropriate time.
Having attended the sports committee meetings, I think it's a fair comment to say there's no other project that could be ready for the round three federal funding, which will close in January thereabouts. Is that a question, Councillor Velasco?
Do we have any idea how much the cost would be to proceed to this next step? Like a minimum and maximum, a range?
Mr. Scott.
Through Mr. Mayor, we're estimating $135,000 all up. Our experience with the Stronger Regions Fund's application is they have to be really good. They have to be spade ready, and they have to be really well researched and showing that there's economic jobs as a result of it, which you generate, are very important. So there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of creative thinking to be done, as we discussed the other night.
And to be clear, once that preparation work is done, which I suppose would happen under either motion, a motion would need to come back to council with a pre-commitment of funds to enable the grant to go ahead. As to what that figure is will be subject of debate and the subject of the preparatory work that's being done. But this will have to come back to council again before actually lodging a funding submission. But the reason that it's come to council, as I understand from the report, is that it is saying to administration, you must do all things necessary to get this ready. And if there was any further delay, there probably wouldn't be an opportunity. So, Councillor Byam, did you have a question? Or? No. It's actually Councillor Pfeiffer who... I thought you did speak to your amendment. Well, normally, and we've discussed this, that I would go to the mover and reply at this point before putting the amendment. But if you have some points to make briefly, go ahead.
Okay, so my amendment was never to say we wouldn't put a submission in for round three. It was just saying go through those motions at that stage, but to say we lodge means whatever the funding cost is, we're going to lodge it. I wanted it brought back to council once we've done all of that investigation and putting all the paperwork together for it, but for us to say yes to the actual amount later, not to say yes to the amount today, not knowing what it is. That's why I put the amendment.
I can understand the point you're making about the wording of the motion. Because
it doesn't say it's going to come back to us for approval.
I had understood the wording to be that we would do all things, that council staff would do all things necessary to enable a worthy application to be lodged. That's how I understood it.
Yeah, well, that says lodges, which means puts it in, regardless of what the amount of money is.
In reality, it will have to come back to council for the simple reason that the funding application has to say how much have you approved, pre-committed. So, as it stands, there is something inconsistent, which you've picked up on,
mm-hmm.
because the motion says council will lodge an application,
yeah.
but without anything further, it cannot be lodged. It would be a Mickey Mouse thing that wouldn't go anywhere. Because there would have to be a pre-commitment of millions.
So that's why I felt the first one needed amending of the wording, so as we were very clear on that.
Okay. I'll invite any further comment from staff before Councillor Pfeiffer replies. Mr. Valentine could speak. Could you just come forward, Mr. Valentine? And then there won't be any further debate. I'll just go to Councillor Pfeiffer to reply at that point.
If I may suggest, having listened to the debate and what members are looking to achieve, if the wording was perhaps Council authorises the preparation of a costed concept plan for Council's review and consideration prior to any lodgement of an application to round three of the National Stronger Regions Fund.
Personally, I find that a bit wordy, and it really reflects Councillor Byram's motion, in my view. So I appreciate the suggestion, but it's come too late for amending the motion further. I've said that I'll invite Councillor Pfeiffer to reply. So, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, we've got to look at the intent of this, and if we start investigating the merits of something, we've only got a couple of months here. We don't. If we're going to get something in before the federal election, the time to act is now. We have to act now. And just, if I may clarify one other thing as well, in terms of the strategy for the whole city, and you know the fact that this is being elevated over one of the three others, Your Worship, I was the one who moved the original motion. For these four things, including BMX, including soccer pitches in the south, something I'm personally really passionate about. 20 kilometres away from me, doesn't matter. I'm elected for the city of Marion. That's what I'm here for, and that's bloody important. We need to do it. Look, the opportunity is here. The opportunity is now. I speak against the amendment and for the original motion. Look, it's something that we want to do. We have said on the 14th of April, this is something that we want to do. We've also said that when potential funding opportunities relevant to the above sports infrastructure be actively pursued as they arise. This is the opportunity. It has arisen. We take it or we just let it go. That's what we're debating here. So, look, I think if we're going to grab this, we need to grab it. We can't sort of step back and say, oh, we'll investigate the merits. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
Noting, of course, we do have to go through Section 48 reports and every other possible. Section 48 reports have to go through Audit Committee. They're brutal things. I've sat through a couple of them through Audit Committee. They are bloody tough things to get through. We have to be able to tick all the boxes, obviously, from a governance and from a legislative point of view. But this is just signalling the intent that, yes, we are going to have a crack at it.
Very well. I'm putting the amendment, Councillor Byram's amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? The amendment is lost. I now put the original motion as moved by Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Division called. All those in favour of the motion, please stand in your place. Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Valescu and Gard. Those against are Councillors Byram, Appleby and Crossland. Thank you. You may be seated. So, thank you to Mr. Krugley, who's patiently waited to observe the debate. And I advise that the remaining items tonight are probably going to be dealt with confidentially. So it may become a bit more dull because you'll be kicked out until 10 o'clock anyway. But you're welcome to try and stay. I can let members know that we have Professor Stirling coming to address us at 8:45. So when we see him, we can ask him to address us. We also have Kay Smith from EMA Legal due to attend at 9:15. But since we haven't seen those people at this stage, let's deal with the cafe issue. So I'd ask members to turn to page 80 of the agenda. Oh, Professor Stirling is here, and so for his convenience, I just retract what I said. I'll call on the Darlington motion, and I must say I have satisfied myself that there are reasons for confidentiality. We're being briefed by a public authority that wishes to keep the matter confidential, so I'd invite a motion as to confidentiality. Moved, Councillor Pryor. Seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So I'd invite Professor Stirling, you're very welcome, to come up and join us at the front. We have just passed a confidentiality motion, so can staff be clear about who is and who isn't remaining in the room? Alternative Darlington upgrade. And, sorry, microphone's off at this point.